Crank it up. Turn it on. There we go. I don't know if I got it in the right place or not. We'll try it right there and see how that works. So, I'm going to go back Wednesday night. We'll drop back into our prophecy again. But I got to do what the Lord wants.
All right.
So, this morning, we were discussing, what was the name of it? What to do until Jesus comes. And we talked this morning about several different things. And I don't want to go all the way back over it and preach a whole nother sermon again on what we went over this morning. But we will take a glance. That ain't what I'm looking for. There's what I'm looking for. So we need to remember while we're waiting on Jesus to come back, because honestly, we are in the days that, when I say I got to be careful here, understand Jesus could have come back a second after he arose. We're not waiting on any prophecy for the rapture. There's people try to do that. They try to say, well, this has got to happen. This is good. No. Not for the rapture. There doesn't have to be anything. Paul was looking for the rapture. That ought to tell you something. That's been, what, right at 2,000 years ago, give or take a few. I will tell... No, I'm not going to say that. So it could be at any given time from the day he left until now. Now, I said I wasn't going into prophecy, but we will a little bit. Some of the prophecy that we know of, I read this morning in the book of Luke, and it's about chapter 17, and it was in the days of Noah, in the days of Lot. I don't want to ask you what was going on. I'll just tell you, in the days of Lot, things were going on then that honestly are going on now. They had a total society that was pretty much, I called it woke, and they thought they had something new. But LGBTQ, all of that was going on back then, same as it is now. But it's been hid for many, many years. Now it's coming out very strongly. And we're no longer in a Christian nation. We're in a pagan nation. Unfortunately, that's true. And as I mentioned this morning, traveling across the U.S. and especially the Bible Belt, I've felt an evil presence everywhere we've been. And sitting in restaurants, I don't even want to repeat some of the subjects I've heard. And some of the things going on, and even some of what I think I might have heard sitting in Tucson at the where was we at? I hope we got our food. The IHOP, they got good pancakes. Hence why they call it International House of Pancakes. But, and I did eat three of them. They were a little bitty though. See, mine, when I make them, are about like that. I heard a conversation there, and I'm like, no, I don't think I'm hearing that right. It was something about it good on these children that are being killed and aborted, and I'm like, never before as this year, this past trip, have I felt uneasy most everywhere I was at. And I'm like, you know something? Listen, we're in the last days. But the last days I'm talking about is the days of Noah, the days of Lot, the second coming of Christ, which understand that's not the rapture. Amen. See, that's where it's been messed up all these years. Oh, the second coming, that's what we're waiting on. No, we ain't. Because we're coming with him in the second coming. as the lightning lights up the sky, everybody's going to see him. That's at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. It's the Battle of Armageddon, where all of the nations, A-L-L, all, that including America, if America exists, are going to go toward Israel to destroy Israel. And when that happens, Jesus is going to show up and put a stop to all of it. Guess who's going to be with him? We are. All these, I'm trying to find the right words. It's hard. All these misled, there we go, all these misled folk that think we're going up in the middle of it, of the tribulation, or think we're, and then you got some of them that are misled, and they think we're going to go up at the end of it. It's like, wait a minute. If we've got to go and stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and then we're going to go to the marriage feast of the Lamb. And by the way, he will partake of the Lord's Supper with us, sitting there with him. Oh, that'll be awesome, won't it? Huh? That'll be awesome. To sit there with the very reason that we do that. The remembrance of what he done. He told them, he said, I will not partake again until you come up there. You see, we're going to go up there, and all these people got the idea, well, we're going to go up post-tribulation. Listen, if they want to catch the second bus and the third bus, that's fine. I'm going to go ahead and go. I'm just going to go ahead and go. Now, I'm going to read a verse, and I'm not going to elaborate on it a whole lot. You look into it yourself. Kind of pray about it. Do some studying, if I can find it real quick. I'm going to read a verse that bothers me to a point. It's in the book of Luke. And it's verse chapter 21. Now, let me read this, verse 29. And he spake to them a parable, behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. Likewise, ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation, now that's not talking about the generation born in 30 AD or whatever. That's talking about the nation of Israel, that race of people, shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time, now this is warning, it's a warning for people in the view of the Lord's return. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always. Now, we mentioned that's one thing we need to be doing, is praying while we're waiting on the Lord. But now, I want you to listen to what I'm going to say, what the Bible says, and then I'm going to skip on because I don't want to go into that tonight. That ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, I'm going to leave that alone. And maybe we'll pick up on that Wednesday. That'll give you something to think on. Now, the prayer part. As I mentioned this morning, we are to be waiting on Jesus. We're not to just be sitting on our blessed assurance and sitting on your hands. Come get us, Jesus. I mean, I'm all for it. Even so, come Lord Jesus. But it says we should be having a prayer of harvest or harvest prayer. In other words, praying for laborers in the field, praying for the lost that are out in the field, that the laborer, listen, the laborers are few. When you go in churches across the nation and churches are few in number. You talk to the schools that have their people that have surrendered to the ministry. They ain't too many surrendering to the ministry anymore. And then you got some of them that'll actually say, well, I'll do whatever the Lord wants as long as I ain't got to leave the county I live in. Well, bless your heart. You know, I'll go wherever the Lord wants me as long as it's not outside of this county. Something wrong with that. We need to be praying for the workers, but praying for the harvest. We need to be having an intercessory prayer. We know people that are afflicted. Amen. We know people that's got issues in their life they need praying for. We need to be praying, transforming prayer. As I said this morning, prayer isn't a wish book. I wish I had a $10,000 less Paul. Lord, send it. It ain't a wish book. Prayer is supposed to be a we want to see people transformed. That's what we're supposed to be doing, is helping them transform, and we should be praying for them. So we need that prayer. Prayer of forgiveness. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we're not praying for salvation if we're saved, but we are praying for when we mess up. I wasn't real highly impressed with the wind coming across Texas. Matter of fact, at one time, I was very quiet and wasn't talking, and I was thinking, you know, I've had about enough of this. Hey, the Lord had His reasons for the sandstorm that I was driving through. And I was hoping it didn't ruin my paint job, and it didn't. The Lord protected it. But it was a mess. Driving down the highway with the steering wheel cocked like that, doing 70 miles an hour, and I thought I was going to blow my motor up. I'm like, you know, and trucks, when you would go around a truck, you just pray. Because every now and then he'd do this. And poor guy's trailer's all over the road. And then when you come around him, you're hanging in it, you know. Well, you get straight, and then all of a sudden, you got to get the wheel back because... and I wasn't seeing humor in that. I even told the Lord, I said, you know, this ain't funny. But it was better than the snowstorm in New Mexico. But we need prayer for that. Prayer for our forgiveness. Oh, and prayer for wisdom. We need wisdom. We need spiritual wisdom. I give a flip about world wisdom. We need spiritual wisdom, and we ought to be praying for it, and don't think, well, I got all the wisdom I can get. No. Continue to ask for wisdom from the Lord, and don't waver, he says in James 1, 5, and 6. Don't waver. Ask for wisdom, and go on about your business, and the Lord will give it to you. But we got to read in the Word. That's the key. If we ain't going to read in the Word, we ain't going to get it. We got to be reading in the Word. And we need to be praying, even though there's lost folk out there. I got a lot of them kin. We still need to be praying. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Now, part two of all of this, and it ain't even on here. Part two of this whole deal, Acts chapter 14. All right, Paul and what's his name? No, it wasn't Barney, was it? Silas, Paul and Silas. Well, wait a minute. Verse 46 of chapter 13. Then Paul and Barney waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of ever lasting life, we turn to the Gentiles. Now, let me touch on that for just a moment. I want you to understand. Always pray for people. When you're witnessing to certain people, family members or whatever, pray for them. But there comes a time. I don't like this, but there comes a time that you've got to go and walk away. You just got to back off. You keep praying for them, but don't bother them no more. Because they're doing nothing but tying you up from talking to somebody else and doing the Lord's work. They will tie you up with conversations of stupidity because that's where the devil leads them. And sometimes you just got to say, you know what, I'm done. I've got some people in my life that I would love to see saved. But I finally just got to the point, what's the use? The Lord put it, why cast your pearls before the swine? All they're going to do is trample it. Walk away from it. Leave them alone. Let them be who they are. But you'd be surprised what prayer will do. Prayer changes a lot of things. Now, verse 47, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them, and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. We need to understand, as we talk to people about the Lord, listen, be filled with joy, be filled with the Holy Ghost, even if they don't listen. Tell them anyway. And after a while, as I said a while ago, sometimes you walk away. Keep them in your prayers. And it came to pass, chapter 14, verse 1, in Iconium, that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. Now, notice what Paul and Barnabas did. They went to the synagogue. What are they doing in the synagogue? They're preaching the word. You know, we got this idea that we can't just tell everybody. Why? They went into the synagogue knowing it was going to be trouble. And told them anyway. I don't care what the woke culture says. I don't care what their cancel culture, they need to be canceled. I don't care what they say, I'm going to keep right on telling people about Jesus.
Amen.
That's what we've got to do. Because, as I read this morning, the little lady with cat ears, well, she ain't little, she's sort of a large gal, down there in Phoenix, that has convinced the board to drop the teachers they're getting from the Arizona Christian University preaching in schools, because we don't need Christian influence. It's dangerous. Listen, we're in trouble. We're in big trouble. But one day... But the unbelieving Jews, there's always going to be somebody that does this. The unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord. They hung out anyway. Listen, we still here. We got to keep doing it.
Amen.
Which gave testimony unto the word of His grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done in their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part held with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both on the Gentiles and also on the Jews, their rulers, with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them. Now I'm going to go ahead and tell you, if things get rough, do just what they just said. What I'm about to read. They were aware of it. I like the way they talk. In other words, Paul and Barnabas became aware that these people wanted to stone them. It says, and fled. There comes a time you just got to back off and say, you know what, I'm going to go over here. That's what we need to do sometimes. Sometimes you just back away. Y'all do what you want to do. I'm going to go over here. Unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. They were there preaching the word, and all of a sudden these people, the Jews, stirred up some folk and got them angry enough and said, hey, we're going to stone them. And Paul and Barney caught word of it. Barney looked at Paul, and Paul looked at Barney and said, we need to go. You ever been in that position? I've been in some places it was like, we need to go. I won't say why we needed to go at that time, but if you're in that situation, sometimes you need to go. You need to walk out of it and say, y'all have it. But I want you to notice something, though. Now, they went to Lystra and Derbe's, the city of Lycaonia, however you say that, and unto the region that lieth round about, and there they kept their mouth shut. No! It says, and there they preached the gospel. They didn't give up the gospel. They preached the gospel there, where they went to. It doesn't matter where we're at. That's what we ought to be doing until the Lord comes back. We need to be preaching the gospel. So my question is, where's your there? Where's your there at? Is your there at Walmart? Boy, you can get in trouble there. But there, they need the gospel. Is your there at work? Maybe that's your there. They need the gospel. Is your there at school, even if it's a public school? Preach the gospel. In other words, tell people about Jesus, because the school ain't going to do it. The school wants to teach LGBTQ, PRS, and whatever else you can add in there. The school wants to make sure that they're woke. The school wants to make sure that they're woke and cancel culture garbage. The school wants to make sure that little Janie can be little Johnny if she wants, and little Johnny can be little Betty if he wants. They want to make sure, and if they want to, they ain't got to be either one. Now, I ain't figured that out. You know, I really haven't. I get the other. You know, I can say, okay, you're perverted, you're jacked up in the mind, you got some serious issues. Amen. If Santino decides, well, I want to be a Kehlani. And if Kehlani says, well, I want to be like Brother Jim. I might can say, okay, I get it. With a little help, they'll understand. No. But I cannot understand, well, I'm neither. You either here or you ain't. Whether you're mixed up or not, you're something. But they want to be, you know, We've got to be telling them about Jesus, because they don't know any better. And it may be too late for some of them. If you've gone to this, to the point in your life, or you know somebody, I know a few. Unfortunately, I do. If you've gotten to the point in your life or someone you know that thinks they were supposed to be a boy, but they a girl. Or that thinks they're supposed to be a girl, but they're a boy. It's a big chance that it might be too late, but you still got to try. When you get to the point that you're confused, and I don't want to be either one, I ain't real sure. Pray for them. But that's what they're being taught. That stuff is getting pounded in their minds. But we don't want Christians in our schools because we might influence them. Somebody needs to influence somebody. That's what we're supposed to... Yeah, the devil's at work. When we've got a president that puts people in his administration that thinks they're a... That's the ugliest woman I have ever seen in my life. She ain't a woman, no. She's a man. But that thing standing there with that scraggly mop on her head and she says she's a woman. I got news for you. It's a man. But when our president appoints somebody like that to run, what is it, the school system? Yeah. Run the school system of the entire United States. You know that you got a president that ain't got no brain. And you know that we're in trouble when people allow it to happen. 1776 should have happened again in 2020. They should have up in arms and I'd have joined them and went out shooting with them. That's what we needed was some volunteers and start a revolution and end it. But there ain't enough of us. There ain't enough that'll stick together, brother. It's sad, but it's not. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You start seeing them little Chinese dudes drop out of the sky, you better get up and get serious. Because they're coming. Listen, the military... I was told... Now, this is what I was told from a person that knows. I can't mention names. But the United States Navy cannot go to battle with anything we have. Because they borrowed parts from other ships to fix the ships that are sailing. Your grandsons or your sons or your cousins or whatever that are in the Navy, that's in the military, they're in a bad place. And we all know some. Because our military ain't got it. Right now, if we went into a war, our Navy cannot defend this country. Because they're borrowing parts of ships and that now can't sail to keep this one sailing. That's a scary thing. The officers in our military today ain't got a clue what they're doing. They worried about wearing caddy. I saw a picture of a senior officer in the Navy. They got a picture of him. He's on some ship out there. I don't forgot which one. He's got little cat ears on. And he's wearing a dress. They don't know what they are and they want to play a game, but yet they're willing to run the country. They're supposed to protect the country. If you ain't got firearm and ammo, you better get it. Because it ain't going to be the military doing it. It ain't going to be the military protecting you if we're invaded. It's going to be the citizens of the United States. And which is probably what it ought to be anyway. They did it once before. We can do it again. We'll send the misfits running. I don't know where they're going to go. We sent them back to England last time. But now they live here, so we just have to call them out. The key is, until Jesus comes back, Figure out where your there is and tell them the gospel. You see, that is so important, where our there is. There can cover a lot of things. I left some cards and tracts here and there on my travel. When we go out in public, we leave some cards laying around. We leave some tracts laying around, stick tracts on cards in the shopping center, make one guy mad out of how many. He'll get over it. But he got mad and called. Don't be putting your crap on my car. I bet he read it. See if it was a windshield, you know. Oh, I bet I can get a tinted windshield. Oh, it convicted him, probably. Listen, your there is important.
Amen.
And I'm going to go ahead and give you a heads up. You want me to tell you where your there is? Man, I'm lucky tonight. Nobody called me. You want me to tell you where your there is? It's wherever you're at. Your there is wherever you're at. They left. They had all kinds of trouble. We just read about all the trouble they had. And when they saw things were getting really bad, first off, when they saw that, listen, these people ain't listening, they backed up. Okay, suit yourself. You don't want to know about it? Okay. Walk off. And then they come to the point that, look, they were about to be stoned. You ever get in a situation and things ain't looking good, back up. You know, that I watched a show one time and the guy was backing up and this snake laying there and he said, "Feet, don't fail me now." Back up and walk away. But you don't keep your mouth shut. You go right on to the next place and tell them about Jesus.
Amen.
That's what we need to be doing. We need to be in deep prayer. We honestly do. We need workers. We need Christians that are committed to serving the Lord. Listen, one of these days the Lord's going to pop through the sky and He's going to call us up. And what are you going to feel when you get there? You're going to say, I ain't been doing much. Or are you going to be able to say, you know, I've been doing what I can do? That's what we want to say. Listen, you're not going to surpass what the Lord wants out of you. Okay? You can try and try and try. You know, the best time for the Lord to come back is right now while I'm preaching. I can say, I was doing it. But what were you doing? You see? That's what we got to ask ourselves. What was we doing? You know, at that second, well, we might be, man, wouldn't that be something? Be sitting there and witnessing to a guy and all of a sudden, poof, he's going to be standing there like, UFO come got him. Yeah. That's what we've got to do. There's a day coming that the Lord is going to pop into those clouds and He's going to call us home. He's going to say, come up hither.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we're out of here. Now, there'll be a lot of people left behind. There's going to be people in churches left behind. There's going to be people at the altar praying. If it happens on a Sunday morning, there'll be somebody sitting there wondering, where'd everybody go? That's sad, but it's true. But don't let it be because we didn't tell them about Jesus.
Amen.
They didn't see Christ in us. They need to see Christ in us. While we're waiting on Jesus, make sure that you're praying and that people are seeing Christ in your life.
Amen.
And at least, if we don't talk to them in person, at least leave them a track. Because they can't ever say, well, I didn't hear it. Now, the one guy, he might have went to church. One of these days, I promise you, that if he don't get saved, he'll be in hell wishing he hadn't threw that track away. That's a reality that people don't like to think of. Let's stand. We're going to have an invitation. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We won't sing. Our most kind and gracious Lord, we do thank You for this day. And we thank You, Lord, for the blessings. We ask, Lord, that You would open our hearts and minds. Lord, speak to us. Maybe we need to change some things. Maybe we need to get more bold with us telling others about Christ. We don't have to tell them about hell. All we've got to do is tell them what Jesus has done for us and that He can do the same for them. Lord, help us to be doers of Your word, not hearers only. To be nice to that person even though they're evil to us. Not returning evil for evil, but returning good for evil. Lord, that will speak to a heart quicker than anything else. Lord, help us to be that kind of person. Lord, the same that You were hanging on the cross, Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. Lord, help us to be that type of Christian. We thank You in Jesus' name. And Sister Diane, please.